Imagine for a second that a multi-million-dollar financial secret is just sitting completely exposed on a public, easily accessible government web server.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah, anyone in the world with an internet connection can see it. It is literally sitting right there.
Yeah.
But for 30 full minutes, absolutely no one notices. Like, not a single person or algorithm acts on it.
I mean, that sounds completely absurd. In modern finance, we are so conditioned to believe that, information is instantly devoured the exact second it hits the internet.
Exactly.
But this actually happened, and it beautifully illustrates this massive gulf between information simply existing out in the open and information actually being absorbed by a market.
Totally. So in this deep dive, we are exploring a really fascinating 2026 research manuscript. It's by Emrehan Aktuz and Orhan Tarul from Sabancı-Boğaziçi Universities.
Right.
The paper is titled Informational Inertia in a Decentralized Prediction Market. And our source material today is entirely focused on analyzing this very rare, sort of accidental natural experiment that took place on May 15, 2024.
Yeah, we are looking at the morning the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics accidentally released the Consumer Price Index, the CPI data, a full 30 minutes early.
Which is wild. So we are going to use this event as a real-world stress test for prediction markets. You hear it all the time now, right? These decentralized platforms are supposed to be these lightning-fast, highly efficient, wisdom-of-the-crowd forecasting devices.
That's the pitch, yeah. They aggregate human knowledge in real time.
Right. But we want to know if they are really as omniscient as they claim to be.
And this is perfect for that. We get to watch a system designed specifically to price information, and we get to see what it does when it is essentially handed the answer key before the test even starts.
I love that analogy. So to understand how markets react to information, we first need to look at this perfectly timed drop of data. On May 15th, 2024, the Bureau of Labor Statistics makes a pretty monumental operational error.
Massive.
They mistakenly upload the monthly CPI data to their public-facing server at exactly 8:00 Eastern Time. The official scheduled release wasn't supposed to happen until 8:30.
And we really have to emphasize that this wasn't some minor obscure data point.
Oh no, not at all.
This specific report showed inflation was cooling. It came in at 0.3% month over month, whereas the market was expecting 0.4%.
Which is a big miss.
Huge. In the macroeconomic world, that is a massive market-moving signal. A cooling inflation number generally raises the probability that the Federal Reserve will step in and cut interest rates. I mean, millions of dollars hinge on those expectations.
I always think of it like an exam proctor accidentally leaving the master answer key on a desk at the front of the classroom, like 30 minutes before the final exam begins.
That is exactly what it's like.
The answers are just visible. Anyone can walk up and look. But it introduces this fascinating test of human behavior and structural friction. This scenario tests a crucial economic concept, the difference between information being publicly accessible and being publicly attended to.
Right. In economics, we often frame this through the lens of the Grossman and Stiglitz equilibrium.
Okay, let's unpack the mechanics of that. Because it sounds really heavy, but the underlying logic is incredibly intuitive.
It is. The basic premise of Grossman and Stiglitz is that information is never truly free. Even if a piece of data is completely public, it takes effort, time, and resources to monitor for it.
Right, someone has to do the looking.
Exactly. You have to build the infrastructure to watch the server, or you have to pay a human being to sit there and hit refresh on a web page all day.
Which costs money.
Yes. And if the cost of constantly checking for that early answer key is higher than the reward you get for seeing it, people simply won't do it. They will just wait for the official announcement.
Which makes this BLS error a researcher's dream scenario. Because when a leak usually happens in Washington or Wall Street, it's a whispered rumor. You know, it's an unverified source. You can never quite pin down exactly when the information started spreading.
But here, the BLS actually confirmed the precise 08.00 ET timestamp of the accidental upload. Having that pristine timestamp is everything. It gives the researchers a verified T equals zero. They have an absolute, undeniable starting block to measure exactly how fast different market participants reacted to the exact same piece of data.
So we have the starting gun. Now we get to pit different financial ecosystems against each other to see who crossed the finish line first.
Yeah, it's a literal race.
A race between traditional Wall Street pipelines and decentralized Web3 prediction markets. So let's look at how the institutional pros on Wall Street handled that 08.000 ET leak.
Well, the researchers examined the CME 30-day federal funds futures. For anyone unfamiliar, this is basically the gold standard venue where institutional professionals trade their expectations of Fed rate cuts.
The big leagues?
The big leagues. These are massive trading desks run by sophisticated algorithms and low-latency data feeds, and they began adjusting their prices within seconds of the 08.000 ET upload.
Seconds. They didn't wait for a news anchor to announce it on TV.
Not at all. The machines literally scraped the BLS server, identified the cool and inflation metric, ran the macroeconomic implications, and instantly repriced the market.
That is incredible.
Within that 30-minute leak window, those traditional futures markets completed nearly 60% of their total price adjustment for the entire morning. They essentially front-ran the official 08.30 release.
So Wall Street's automated plumbing works flawlessly. Now we turn to Polymarket, which is the decentralized prediction market the researchers focused on.
Right.
They isolated a specific contract that asked, how many Fed rate cuts in 2024?
And to measure the reaction here, the researchers relied on a metric called log odds.
Rather than just looking at the raw price of the token.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Because prediction market tokens are binary, they settle at either $1 or zero. As a probability gets closer to 99% or 1%, the price movements get distorted.
They sort of bunch up at the ends.
Exactly. So converting the prices into log odds is a statistical transformation that smooths out that probability curve. It allows researchers to measure the true intensity of a shift much more cleanly.
And when they applied this log odds measurement to Polymarket during that entire 30-minute leak window, what they found was absolutely nothing.
Zero.
Zero abnormal movement. The market exhibited a completely flat line.
A total void.
Now, my immediate instinct when I saw that was to look at the clock. It's 08.000 a.m. Eastern time. Polymarket technically bans U.S. traders from participating due to regulatory reasons. So isn't the most obvious answer that the market's primary user base was simply asleep?
It's a fair question.
Like, you can't expect a market to react if its traders are literally unconscious.
But the researchers anticipated that exact objection and ran a geographic check that completely rules it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look at the international time zones. 08.000 a.m. Eastern is 1.00 p.m. in London. It is 2.00 p.m. across Central Europe. It's 8.00 p.m. in Asia.
Oh, so everyone is awake.
Wide awake. These are absolute prime trading hours for the global crypto and prediction market community. The user base was active.
Okay, so if they were awake, then maybe the broader crypto ecosystem was just ignoring macroeconomics entirely that morning.
They checked that too. They looked at Bitcoin and Ethereum spot markets on Binance as continuously traded benchmarks because those markets operate 24/7 with deep algorithmic participation.
And did those bots notice the leak?
They did. During the 30-minute leak window, Bitcoin drifted upward by about 0.31% and Ethereum drifted up 0.12%.
Okay, so it wasn't that sharp, violent jump we saw with the CME futures on Wall Street. It was more of a noisy minute-by-minute drift.
Right.
But it clearly shows that algorithmic trading bots in the broader crypto ecosystem were at least partially absorbing the positive macro sentiment from the leak. Yet the prediction market sitting right next door remained completely frozen.
Completely. Which brings us to the statistical tool the researchers used to pinpoint the exact moment Polymarket finally woke up. They applied an algorithm called Pelt-Thate change point detection.
Okay, so think of Pelt-Pelt like a highly sensitive statistical alarm system. You feed it a timeline of messy data, and it mathematically scans for the exact millisecond, where the underlying behavior fundamentally shifts from one state to another.
Exactly, and when they ran the Polymarket data through this change point detection alarm, the alarm didn't ring at 08.00 when the leak happened.
Not a peep.
And incredibly, it didn't even ring at 08.30 when the official news dropped on every major financial television network.
Wait, really? Not even at 08.30?
Nope. The alarm finally triggered at 08.35 ET. Polymarket exhibited a full 35-minute discovery gap.
Wow.
The traders completely missed the half-hour C-Bendo, and then they continued to lag behind the official, widely announced public release by an additional 5 minutes.
35 minutes in modern finance is practically an eternity. So if it wasn't sleepy traders and it wasn't a total disconnect from macroeconomic news in the crypto space, we are left with this massive void where millions of dollars were seemingly left on the table.
Yeah.
Why did nobody reach out and take the free money?
Well, it forces us to look under the hood of how these platforms are actually built. It comes down to a massive infrastructure gap between Wall Street and Web3.
The plumbing is just totally different.
Completely different. As we mentioned, institutional markets have programmatic newswire-to-order book pipelines. There is zero human hesitation. But Polymarket operates as a central limit order book, or a CLO.
Let's visualize that for a second. Unlike an automated market maker, where you trade against a pool of funds governed by an algorithm, a CLO is essentially a digital whiteboard.
Right, a digital whiteboard.
If you want to buy a share at 40 cents, you write your name on the board.
Yeah.
You have to wait for another human being or a bot to walk up to the board and agree to sell it to you at 40 cents.
And Polymarket relied entirely on these organic participants. They didn't have designated institutional market makers whose contractual job is to constantly provide liquidity.
No safety net.
Exactly. And their participants didn't have low-latency APIs scraping government servers.
But even without the fancy algorithms, if I'm a human arbitrager sitting in London and I see the leaked news on my Twitter feed and I see Polymarket is mispricing the odds of a rate cut, why wouldn't I just manually execute a trade to capture that value?
Because of the math of friction. This is the Grossman and Stiglitz equilibrium in practice. You have to look at the tangible costs involved in executing that trade on this specific platform.
Right.
First, Polymarket runs on the Polygon blockchain. In May 2024, every time you submitted a transaction, it cost about 1 to 5 cents in network gas fees.
Oh, right. Plus, you have the delays in the transaction costs associated with converting your regular fiat money into USDC, which is the stablecoin required to actually place the trade.
Exactly. But the absolute biggest source of friction and the primary reason the market stayed frozen was the bid-ask spread.
Okay. This is the crux of the paper's financial mechanics, so let's walk through the math.
Yeah.
The spread is simply the gap between what the highest buyer is willing to pay and what the lowest seller is willing to accept. If I want to buy a token right now without waiting, I have to cross that gap and pay the higher asking price.
And on these specific Fed rate cut tokens, that spread was typically 1 to 2 cents wide. Now remember, these are binary contracts that pay out $1 if the event happens and $0 if it doesn't.
Meaning 1 cent of price mechanically equals exactly 1 percentage point of probability. So if the token costs 40 cents, the market is saying there is a 40% chance of a rate cut.
Right. So if the spread is 2 cents wide, let's say buyers are at 40 cents and sellers are at 42 cents, the half spread is 1 cent.
Got it.
That half spread is the minimum distance. The true probability of the event needs to shift to make crossing the aisle profitable.
Oh, I see. So if the news only shifts the true reality of the world by 0.5%, it's mathematically impossible to make money by aggressively buying at 42 cents. You would be overpaying.
You'd lose money. And here is the ultimate kicker. The leaked inflation surprise was relatively small. Yes, inflation cooled from an expected 0.4% down to 0.3%. But when you plug that into macroeconomic models, it only shifted the expected number of Fed rate cuts by about 0.005.
Half a percentage point.
Exactly. The expected profit from acting on the leaked information didn't even cross the half spread of the prediction market.
Wow. It's back to our exam proctor analogy, but with a twist. The answer key is sitting on the desk. You know, looking at it will improve your final score by 5 points. But the proctor has instituted a rule. Walking up to the desk to look at the key automatically deducts 10 points from your grade.
That's a great way to put it. Even though you possess the information, the structural friction of the environment makes it completely irrational to act on it. The cost of trading was greater than the value of the signal.
Okay, that perfectly explains why nobody went on the offensive. It explains why arbitragers didn't aggressively attack the market to buy new positions.
Right.
But what about defense? What about the people who already had limit orders sitting on the whiteboard? Like, if you were offering to sell at 42 cents and the news breaks that makes a rate cut more likely, wouldn't you panic and pull your order down so you don't get fleeced?
That is a really critical distinction. The researchers needed to know if the flatline price was a sign of people strategically withdrawing from the market to protect themselves, or if it was a sign of people simply doing nothing at all.
Right. Active ignoring versus passive ignoring.
Exactly. To answer that, they dove deep into the market's microstructure.
Looking at every single tiny interaction on the order book.
Yeah. They conducted what's called a survival analysis of the, quote, updates. They measured how long the market could survive without a single person altering their bid or ask price.
The results of this analysis are just staggering. Over the entire 70-minute leak window, across all the different outcome tokens in that contract series, there were only 3 updates to the best bid or best ask prices, 3 single adjustments in half an hour.
And to put that in perspective, they looked at normal placebo mornings, days where CPI data was released normally at 08.30 without any leaks. On those routine mornings, the average was around 24 updates during that same half-hour pre-release window.
So the market wasn't just quiet, it was practically comatose.
Completely.
But again, playing devil's advocate here, a completely dead market for 30 minutes? My instinct is to say we can't definitively prove the market was ignoring the leak. Like, maybe May 15th was just a naturally slow, boring Wednesday morning where nobody felt like trading.
Well, that is exactly the alternative hypothesis the researchers had to rule out. And to do it, they couldn't just look at May 15th in a vacuum. They had to mathematically build a sort of digital twin of the market to see what a normal day should look like.
Creating a baseline for typical market noise.
Precisely. They utilized a technique called the synthetic control method. You can think of it like taking the trading data from several other completely normal, boring release days like June 12th and blending them together to create a mathematically perfect, leak-free morning.
So they hold up the real data from the leaked morning of May 15th, and they compare it side by side with this mathematically manufactured boring baseline. And what did they see?
A near perfect match.
Wow.
And to prove it wasn't a fluke, they ran millions of simulated scenarios. It's a rigorous statistical process called randomization inference. They wanted to calculate the exact odds of this flatline happening by pure chance.
And the p-value is really high, right?
Yeah, the resulting data showed almost no statistical difference between a day with a massive data leak and a day with absolutely no news at all.
The May 15th leak window looked exactly like a routine pre-release morning where nobody is paying attention because they don't expect the data for another half hour. There was no evidence of strategic withdrawal. People weren't desperately canceling their orders. They simply weren't monitoring the market.
But we also have to verify that the market's internal logic didn't break down. Sometimes when these decentralized platforms face a weird informational shock, the underlying math stops working.
You're talking about market coherence. Like if a contract asks how many rate cuts will happen, and the options are one cut, two cuts, three cuts, and so on. If you add up the probabilities of all those mutually exclusive outcomes, they mechanically have to equal exactly 100% or 1.0.
Exactly.
If they sum up to 1.1 or 0.9,
yeah,
the market is broken.
Right. And the paper tracks this coherence metric meticulously, and it shows the market did not break. During the 30-minute leak window, the deviation from that perfect 1.0 sum remained completely stable at 0.018.
So the math was totally fine.
The math was completely fine.
But that internal coherence completely fragmented later.
It did, yeah. The deviation only jumped up to 0.088 after the official 08.30 release. That was when the news hit the mainstream wires and everyone finally rushed into Polymarket to update their prices.
Total chaos.
Totally. Because they were all acting asynchronously, some humans updating faster than others, some tokens moving while others lagged, it temporarily skewed the overall math of the market.
So that stable, coherent math during the leak, followed by a messy, fragmented jump after the official release, proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the market wasn't confused or digesting the leak slowly. It was just profoundly inactive. It was asleep at the wheel until the alarm clock rang at 08.30.
Exactly. And bringing all of this back to the bigger picture, why should you, listening to this, care about a 35-minute delay on a single Wednesday in May 2024?
Right.
It matters immensely because of what prediction markets are becoming.
They are rapidly entering the mainstream. Major news outlets, political forecasters, and economic analysts are increasingly using these platforms as their primary tools to gauge real-time public sentiment. They treat them as absolute truth.
But this research is a vital reminder that these platforms are not magical, omniscient oracles. Their accuracy and their speed are entirely bound by the physical and structural limits of the platform itself.
The friction.
Yes, the friction. The attention spans of human participants, the blockchain gas fees, the bid-ask spreads, and the lack of automated API access, these structural frictions define the market's reality just as much as the actual economic news does.
This paper by Aktuz and Turul is so incredibly valuable because it captures a perfect pre-growth baseline. Like Polymarket and platforms like it have grown exponentially in liquidity and volume since mid-2024.
They're massive now.
Yeah, but this study gives us a clean, undeniable benchmark to measure exactly how these markets mature over time.
It quantifies the baseline efficiency cost of a thin venue that lacks an automated institutional monitoring apparatus. It proves mathematically that publicly accessible information is absolutely not the same thing as publicly incorporated information.
Which leaves us with a really provocative thought to end our deep dive on today. Right now, the entire charm and marketing pitch of decentralized prediction markets is this romantic idea of the wisdom of the crowd.
Oh, definitely.
You know, real people weighing probabilities, synthesizing global knowledge, and putting their own money where their mouth is.
It's meant to be a democratic alternative to traditional finance.
Exactly. But we have just seen that relying purely on human crowds without algorithms and high-frequency bots leaves a massive 35-minute gap where multi-million-dollar secrets sit completely ignored on a public server.
It forces a fundamental design question for the future of decentralized finance.
It really does. If the only way for prediction markets to close that 35-minute gap is to adopt the exact same high-speed algorithmic bots, market makers, and automated data feeds used by institutional finance, do they lose the very thing that makes them special?
That's the million-dollar question.
If all we end up with are machines reacting to other machines in milliseconds just across a one-cent spread, are we still harnessing the wisdom of the crowd? Or have we just accidentally built Wall Street 2.0? Next time you see a valuable secret sitting out in the open, ask yourself, who is actually paying enough attention, and who can afford the toll to cross the bridge and pick it up?